Great singing in Crossgar this morning, and it is good to sing out. We're not all great singers. Some people have a tremendous talent, and the Lord has blessed them with a great voice. But whatever voice you have, lift up your voice and sing to the Lord. Open your Bible again, please, at John chapter 14. I have a very simple word to bring this morning. Share with you just some thoughts. The Lord blessed my own heart just a few weeks ago. I saw some of you on Friday night at the Martyrs, and what a tremendous week of meetings that was. I was able to get for 3 nights, but I got the notes, and I plan to really look into those notes. And I just thought, you know, coming home on Tuesday night, turning into a long church street there, Regent Street, Newton Ard, saw women coming out of the bingo. Why is it that women go to bingo and not so many men? I don't know why that is. And men coming out of the public house. And I just thought, you know, I just sat for an hour listening to Dr. Kearns on the rejection and restoration of Israel. And looking at these folks, I thought to myself, you know, you have no idea what's coming. And God help us to take every opportunity to speak to people about the great things the Lord has planned and how they can be part of it all. They receive the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Savior. Now, I've never been so glad for the changing of the clock than I was last night, because we arrived at the Stormont Hotel at 6:30 for Mr. McElveen's retirement dinner, and we got up to leave at 11:45, and I was glad the clock changed and there was an extra hour. But the Lord bless her brother and his dear wife as they are retiring now from the pastorate there in Sandown. Bless Sandown congregation and Mr. McElveen. Well, with our Bibles open, can we just have a prayer and ask the Lord to speak to us again this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow our hearts. We have the Bible open, Lord, and we acknowledge this book is from God. These words are inspired, infallible. We can absolutely trust them, absolutely. We remember the Savior said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. We remember how it says in the Old Testament that God's word is forever settled in heaven. We know, Lord, there are those on this earth who try to unsettle it, but it's forever settled in heaven. And they can huff and they can puff and they can try and blow the house down, but the old word will stand. Praise God. We thank thee it's a living, spiritual word. Thank it's a word concerning nations. But I thank you, Lord, it's a word concerning us. And Lord, there's a word this morning for every man, every woman, every young person, every child, even in the meeting. And Lord, will you help us now? And will you give us, Lord, the infilling of your Holy Spirit to do God's work, to do God's will? I confess, Lord, my utter inability to do anything of spiritual good except the Lord be with us and the Lord be in the message. So, Lord, be glorified in our midst just now. Lift up the mighty name of Jesus and set forth the glorious gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For his sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. There are many precious truths in these chapters of John 13 through to 17. The Lord Jesus has gathered with the 12 at Jerusalem for the Passover. He will leave this meeting. He will go out into the dark night. He will cross the valley up the other side to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there the soldiers and the officers with their torches and their lanterns and their swords will come. He will be betrayed by Judas Iscariot, arrested, and then will begin the Passion of the Savior. He will go to the cross where he will bleed and die for our sins. In the chapter 13, Judas leaves the meeting. The Lord Jesus says in verse 27 of chapter 13, it says there, after the sop, that's the morsel of bread that they would have dipped, Satan entered into Judas. You see, on up the chapter, we read that the devil had put it in his heart to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in verse 2 of chapter 13. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And now when we come down to verse 26, we discover, verse 27, Satan entered into him. The Lord Jesus says, what thou doest, do quickly. And we read that verse 30, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And it was not only night physically, it was night spiritually. And it would soon be night eternally for this man, Judas Iscariot. So now there's the 11. And the Lord Jesus understands, of course, that they are greatly troubled by these words and by these events. He says in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. And isn't that tremendous? Just let's pause there. And as we're gathered here this morning, let's remember the Lord Jesus knows if you're troubled. He knows it. But the very fact that he says, let not your heart be troubled, shows us that he cares. The Lord cared that these men were troubled. But he not only knows, and he not only cares, but he comforts. And if you go down through the rest of these verses, and indeed the rest of these chapters, the Lord Jesus comes to these men to comfort them, to encourage them, to give them words that will soothe their troubled hearts and their troubled minds. You know, just going through these verses recently, I discovered that a lot of these precious truths are found in these chapters for the simple reason that the disciples would ask the Lord a question. You go through these chapters and you'll see that. They would ask the Savior a question. For instance, in chapter 14 there, the Lord Jesus is talking about going and coming again and about the place, and he says, verse 5 says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And because Thomas said that, because Thomas asked the Lord that question, we have the famous verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And is there not a lesson here, brothers and sisters, and just saying these things by way of introduction? If you have a trouble, if you have a doubt, if you have a question, if you have a care, get alone with the Lord in your Bible and ask him. Ask the Lord. Bring your problem, bring your question, bring your doubt, bring your trouble to the Lord and ask him. Because you know, when the Lord begins to answer, what a blessing. Is it not so that down through the years, John 14 and 6 has been a great blessing to many souls down the years as that text has been preached? And yet it was given in answer to a question. And you go through these chapters and you'll see that these disciples were asking the Lord questions. Well, what I want to speak on very simply this morning, you know, I love reading about places. And I've been to a few places. I've been to Australia, been to America. I've been to Scotland. And of course, been to Israel. And can you go to a better place than Israel? Apart from Uitenhage, of course, that is. I love reading about places. And I'll let you into a wee secret. I love songs about places. And I want to speak this morning on three places. Very simple. I want to speak on the place we all surely want to go to. I want to speak on the place we all surely do not want to go to. And then I want to speak on the place we all surely need to get to. And thank God this wee man can say, I have been to that place. Have you? We invite you this morning to come to that place. As we look at it this morning. First of all then, the place we all surely want to go to. Look at chapter 14 of John's Gospel and look at verse 2. Remember, the Lord Jesus is dealing with their troubled hearts. He knows they're troubled, he cares, and he's going to comfort them. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Here is the place that surely every thinking human being wants to go to at the end of life. I say thinking because I realize there's a lot of people never give it a thought. I realize there's a lot of people, God's not in their thoughts. And I realize there's a lot of people, and if you were to ask them about this place called heaven, they might very well tell you they don't believe in it. But heaven's there just the same. It's revealed in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who told no lies, tells us about heaven. In fact, did you notice something? Did you notice what the Savior says? In the middle of verse 2, he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. You can trust him. You can believe the Savior's words. The Lord Jesus told us the truth. I turned on the Revelation channel one day last week and near fell off the chair because all of a sudden up on the screen came our old friend Richard Dawkins. And after I hissed a bit, I began to listen to him, and it was the usual anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christian. But he really tore into the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus. Really mocked that and blasphemed that mighty truth. And I just thought, you know, Dawkins, when your bones are decomposing in the dust, God's word will still be being preached. No, the Savior spoke of this place, and I say it's surely the place we all want to go to, the Father's house. Now, very quickly, let's see, what did Jesus say in John 14, verses 1, 2 and 3? What did the Lord Jesus teach here about the place we call heaven? First of all, it's a place. Did you see that? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, heaven is a place. You know, I got up this morning in Newton Ards, just Greenville Street, the town I love so well and the street I love so well. And I was in Newton Ards. And I jumped in the car and I drove through Cumber and through Saintfield and then here to Crossgar. And I'm now in Crossgar. And it's a real place. Newton Ards is a real place. And Crossgar is a real place. Some years ago, for the first time in my life, I got on an aeroplane in Aldergrove and flew to Heathrow, then flew to Singapore, and then flew to Perth to see my sisters. I have three sisters in Western Australia. In fact, I got a text, I was telling Glenn, got a text on Thursday from a sister whose daughter was coming home from work in Perth, and there was a big hold-up, and she says the next thing the Queen drove by, and it was her birthday, and she got to see the Queen on her birthday, which is great. I haven't seen her once yet in real life, but there you go. She saw her. Now, when I left Newton Ards, a real place, that morning, I got the plane. And when I got off the plane and got in my sister's car and she took me to her home, I discovered for years we had been getting calendars every Christmas from Perth and we saw the photographs. They would send us photographs. They would write things in letters for years. But there I was and I discovered Perth's a real place. That was a Friday. On the Saturday morning, my other sister took me down to the beach. And I remember standing, saying to myself, Jamieson, you're a long way from Greenville Street. And I'm standing there looking out on the lovely blue Indian Ocean. And I had a good look just to make sure there weren't any sharks before I went in for a dip. It's a real place. Thousands of miles away, but it's a real place. The Savior spoke of a place called heaven. It's just as real as Newton Ards, just as real as Crossgar, just as real as Perth, Western Australia. Just as real. But what did the Savior say about it? Number one, it's a house. In my Father's house. Now the fact that he says, my Father's house, shows us it's a home. Ah, that's different. You know, I could take you this morning to the North Road, Newton Ards. If you go up the North Road, Newton Ards, you come to the top of the hill. They built, I think it's four houses just on the left there. But they discovered they were built on a right-of-way and they shouldn't have been built. And the building, they got them up and the roof on, but they're lying there for years, an empty shell. You could call that a house, but that's no home. But heaven is home. Heaven's home. The Savior says, it is my Father's house. Here's God's home for all his family. You know, I could go to, when I was a boy, I'd maybe go to friends' houses. And maybe be in their house and playing as a boy. But then I would hear the call. Time to come in. And I would go in to my own home. You know what? Home is the place where you are accepted for who you are. Home is the place you are comfortable. Home is a place and you know where everything is. And heaven, the Lord Jesus says, is my Father's house. Something else he said, look at it. He says it's a place of many mansions. It's a place of mansions. I used to hear a song, I haven't heard it for a long time, about A cabin in the corner of glory land. A cabin in the corner of glory land. Now, to be fair, very honest with you, if we got to heaven and discovered that what we had was a cabin in the corner of glory land, it would be okay, wouldn't it? Just to be in heaven. No, but there's no cabins in the corners of glory land. There's no little house on the prairie. The Lord Jesus, speaking of this place, he says it's a place called home. It's the place of the Father's house, but it's the place of mansions. But he says it's the place of many mansions. And surely what he's telling us here is there is room for all the Lord's family. There's room for all the Lord's people in this place called heaven. He says it's a place he's gone to prepare. Think of that. A place he's gone to prepare. That time I went to Australia, I remember my sister would ring and she'd say, "We're all ready for you. Have the room cleaned and cleared and new sheets on the bed. And there's a place for you. Have it all ready." And when I arrived, it was all ready. There it was, spick and span. And the Lord says, concerning this place called heaven, "I go to prepare a place for you." Speaking to the 11, not the 12. Judas has left. We'll see in a moment why that's significant. Here's a place called heaven. It's the Father's house, it's home. It's the place of mansions. It's the place of many mansions. It's a prepared place. And we could say this, it's a prepared place for a prepared people. Now let's be clear this morning. From the Word of God, this is not my opinion. From the Word of God, it is quite clear that not every human being goes to heaven. Notice the Lord is speaking to the 11 and he says in verse 3, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Heaven is a place. Heaven is the Father's house. Heaven is a place of mansions. Heaven is a place of many mansions. Heaven is a place prepared. Heaven is a place where Jesus is. Look what he says, verse 3, "that where I am, there you may be also." And can we not enter a little reverently into the mighty heart of Christ and see his desire was that he would eternally fellowship with these 11 in heaven. And we know from the scriptures that then opens out even to the great multitude that no man can number of every kindred, tribe and people and tongue. The desire of the heart of the Savior is that he will have a people that he will share the glory of heaven with for all eternity. Where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is where Jesus is. But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Is heaven the place where you will be? It's just as real as Cross Guard. Make no mistake about it. I know that for a number of reasons, but I know, for instance, my Bible says the Lord Jesus in his resurrected body, in his body mind, entered into heaven. So there is a locality. I can't find it on any map. If you give me a chart of the solar system or of the Milky Way galaxy or of this universe, I can't point to where heaven is, but I can tell you heaven's there. I can show you where it is in this book. And there may well be, there is some reasons to at least suggest that heaven is north. And you look that up in your Bible, you'll discover that. It's just real. And the Lord Jesus desires a people to share heaven with. It's the Father's house, it'll be home. Place of mansions and many mansions. Room for all the Lord's people, all the Lord's family. Now I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. Let's consider the place we all surely do not want to be. You know, Judas left that meeting, the upper room with Christ. He left it. He went out and it was night. And not many hours later he hung himself. And the Bible says his body fell off that cliff. Remember Mr. Douglas? Brother Roy and Mrs. Muir were there, and Mr. Douglas pointing over to that area where there's a ravine, and you can actually see the trees hanging over it, and he said probably that's where it happened, where Judas hung himself, but his body plummeted to the ground and he died. But look what it says in Acts chapter 2, you know, they're meeting here again, and they're appointing someone to take the place of Judas. Look at verse number 23 of Acts 1. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell. Get your eye on that word transgression. Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Ah, this is a different place entirely. You think about it, Judas went out that night, having received the sop. The devil was in his heart. He went out to arrange the dirty deed to betray the Savior into their hands. But by transgression he fell and he went to his own place. Now my Bible says, and your Bible says, that this place, this is not heaven. This is hell. This is everlasting fire. But my Bible says this was prepared for the devil and his angels. And here's the thought that struck me. Judas Iscariot, notice, did you see the word transgression? You know, the Bible says, the believer can say, the believer, the one who's trusted Christ can say this, Isaiah 53, he was wounded for my transgression. The believer can look into the mighty promises of the gospel, the text of scripture, and he can see that all my transgressions and sins are gone. And they're blotted out as a thick cloud. Listen, if Judas Iscariot had been trusting the Savior, if Judas Iscariot had received the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Savior, his transgression would have been covered. But his transgression was not covered because he didn't live and die trusting the Savior. And so it says, Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. A place, mind you, prepared for the devil. But oh, is there not an awful thought here that Judas made that place his own? This is a place we all surely do not want to be. We haven't time this morning to read Luke chapter 16. Do you remember it? The rich man in hell and torments. A place from which there is no escape. A place from which there is no release. A place in which there is no hope. a place in which there is no salvation. And it's a real place. It's a real place. And my message is this morning, and this is simple, we're looking at three places, but this is simple: do not make hell your own. The Lord Jesus saying to those 11, I'm going to prepare a place for you. The Father's house, there's many mansions. I want you with me, so that where I am, there you'll be also. And I'm going to go away, but listen, I'm coming back. And I'm going to receive you unto myself. And this man, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. Now turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And here's our final place this morning. Here's the place we all surely need to get to. You know, I had the great joy in 2006 of going to Israel with Dr. Douglas and the Reverend Wesley Madole and Hannah, who is a Messianic Jew, converted Jew. We had a great time. I haven't been back since, so I'd love to go again, but I was at Gordon's Calvary. Now, if you look at Luke chapter 23, and we'll just read verse 33 for the sake of time. This is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and it says in verse 33, and when they were come to the place, this is our third place. Now, we've thought of heaven, a place prepared. We've thought of hell, a place prepared for the angel, the devil and his angels, though Judas made it his own by sin and transgression. But here's this third place we're going to mention as we close. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Oh, this wonderful place called Calvary. You know, this place is spoken of way back in Genesis. We haven't time, but you go home, look up Genesis 22. Abraham going up to offer his son Isaac. And again, and you mark it in your Bible, again and again and again, you'll read about the place. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. It's the same place. It's the same place. You can study that out. I remember Mr. Johnson speaking in that one night, mighty subject, a mighty truth in the Bible, the very same place, Mount Moriah. Here's the place. Now listen, I understand, and I hope you understand, I'm not suggesting you have to get on a plane, fly to Israel, and go to Calvary. No. Here's what you can do this morning in Crossgar, in this Free Presbyterian Meeting House, gathered with the church that meets in this place. If you're not a Christian, remember there's a heaven and remember there's a hell. And they're just as real. And when we die, what will make the difference? What will either bring us to heaven or send us to hell is what happened at this place, the place called Calvary. I'm suggesting this morning that in your heart, by faith, you must go to this place. You must see the Savior dying. You must believe He died for you. You must say, don't have to be these exact words, but you must say from your heart, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross at the place called Calvary for me. And it was the only way of salvation. And it's the only way that my sins and transgressions can be blotted out so that I can escape eternal hell and wrath and be, Lord Jesus, with you eternally in heaven. And Lord Jesus, I now receive you. Save me, Lord. if you believe and you thank God for saving your soul, then hallelujah, you will go to heaven. You will. That's the gospel. That the Lord Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The place called Calvary. The cross where Jesus bled and died. You know that little part of the world we call Israel, the Holy Land. It's so special. Place God chose. Place God chose for a man He chose and his descendants. A place that has had a history. A place that has a present. We're hearing about it all the time, in fact. And a place which has a future. But I want you just to focus in on this fact. They came to the place which is called Calvary, and there they crucified Him. Have you been by faith to Calvary? By faith have you seen the Savior dying there for you? And by faith have you received Him? And you're simply resting in His finished work. And you believe that what Christ did is enough. It has satisfied God, so it should satisfy me. The place called Calvary. The place we all surely need to get to. Now, if you're here in this meeting this morning and you have been by faith to the cross and you've knelt down and you've received this Savior like those that came in the Gospels and fell at Jesus' feet and cried out, "My Son of David, have mercy on me." If you've done that, then heaven's your home. Heaven's your home. There's a mansion there for you. But listen, if you haven't done that, beware. Beware of the message that comes to us about Judas, whose transgression wasn't covered and blotted out. And when he died, the wrath of God visited him, and he made hell his own place. Come to Calvary, come to Jesus, come to the cross. Let's bow our hearts and our heads. Think about those three places. You know, really, it's nice to go to places in the world. Nice to see them. Nice to take photographs. But there's only three places that really matter. For all of us. Heaven, hell, Calvary. And Calvary makes the difference.